House, please come to order. Members indicate their presence by voting. Madam Clerk.
22 members present.
We have a quorum to conduct business, Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Weirach be excused from the call of the House until 11:30 today.
Without objection, Representative Weirach will be excused until about 11:30. Leading the invocation today is the Reverend George Solides of the Holy Trinity Episcopal Church. Members, please rise for the invocation.
With deep respect for the religious traditions of all Alaskans, I offer this prayer. God of life, we thank you for ours. God of life, we thank you for all the other lives which have shaped our own. We thank you for their wisdom, their love, their examples of leadership we now try to follow. We thank you for our elders, for our grandparents, for our teachers, for those in our own families of blood and heritage, and for those of the larger human family. Help us now in this time to bring to mind their faces, their words, their teachings by example, so that our time of decision may be influenced by the best gifts of these men and women who were and remain such a gift to us. We give thanks for the models who still inspire us, for those who rise up daily from the turmoil and trials of this world to speak a word of hope, of dignity, of grace, of compassion, of humanity. Help us to join them who call out the best in us and to deny those who invite us to anything less. Blessing, peace, grace, and joy be upon this house and its every member. Amen.
Amen. Representative Lynn, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Representative McGuire.
Good morning, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that that lovely prayer be spread upon the journal.
Without objection, that prayer will be spread across the journal. Madam Clerk, do you certify the journal for the previous legislative day?
I certify as the correctness of the journal for the 116th legislative day.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal of the 115th legislative day be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
Without objection, the journal will be certified. Do we have any guests for introduction this morning? Must be nearing the end. Nobody cares about us. Madam Clerk, do we have any messages from the governor? Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Kelly.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to welcome a young miner, not an old miner, but a young miner, and that is Carl Hahnemann back here from Fairbanks, Pogo Mine Bank.
Other guests, Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Behind me in the Elizabeth Peratovich Gallery, I have a constituent who is here with the Alaska Native Heritage Center. She's the Vice President of Community Relations and Development. She's down here lobbying the other body to keep the little amount of money that they had in there for their capital project in. So wish her well on her way. Please help me welcome Annette Evans-Smith.
Other guests for introduction while we're here. Okay, Madam Clerk, messages from the governor.
There are no messages from the governor today, Mr. Speaker.
At least not any that you're going to talk about, right? Do we have any messages from the other body?
A message dated May 6th stating the Senate has passed and transmitted the following for consideration. Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 24, Finance amended by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Reemployment of and Benefits for Retired Teachers and Public Employees and to Teachers or Employees who Participated in Retirement Incentive Programs and are subsequently reemployed as a Commissioner, repealing Sections 5, 7, and 9, Chapter 58, SLA 2001, providing for an effective date by amending the delayed effective date for Sections 3, 5, 9, and 12, Chapter 57, SLA 2005, and repealing Sections 13, Chapter 58, SLA 2001, which is the delayed effective date for Sections 5, 7, and 9, Chapter 58, SLA 2001, and providing for an effective date.
Didn't we just pass that yesterday? Refer to the State Affairs and Finance Committee. We just passed that.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 86, Community and Regional Affairs, effective date failed by the Senate Community and Regional Affairs Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the Liability of the State and Municipalities for Attorney Fees in Certain Civil Actions and Appeals.
State Affairs and Judiciary Committees.
There are no further messages from the other body.
It's down to communications. Madam Clerk, do we have any communications?
There are no communications today.
Are there reports of standing committees?
The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 208, State Veterans Cemetery, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 208, Finance, with a new title, recommending due pass, Hocker, Croft, Jewell, Stoltz, Moses, Foster, Chenault, no recommendation, Wyrock. The report was signed by Representative Chenault, co-chair. House Bill 208 has no further referral. The Resources Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 102, Finance Amended Coastal Management Programs, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 102, Resources. The House Committee Substitute is forthcoming, attaches previously published fiscal note, two fiscal notes, and 3-0 fiscal notes, recommending due pass, Elkins and Samuels, no recommendation, Olson, Capsner, Gatto, Crawford, and Ramros, Amend, Seaton, and Ledoux. The report was signed by Representative Ramros and Samuels, co-chairs. CSSB 102, Finance Amended, has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Community and Regional Affairs Committee has considered Senate Bill 128, amended Borough Incorporation, recommending due pass, Newman, Cisna, Salmon, and Thomas, no recommendation, Olson. The report was signed by Representatives Olson and Thomas, co-chairs. A previous 0 fiscal note was attached. Senate Bill 128, amended, has no further referral. The Resources Committee has considered Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 164, Finance, Salmon Product Development Tax Credit, recommending due pass, Elkins, Seaton, Crawford, Ledoux, and Samuels, no recommendation, Olson, Capsner, Gatto, and Ramros. The report was signed by Representatives Ramros and Samuels, co-chairs. A previous fiscal note was attached. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 164, Finance, has a further referral to the Finance Committee. There are no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Any special committee reports?
There are no special committee reports today.
Have any resolutions or citations, senators?
Citation honoring Sarah Carlson by Representative Salmon, honoring Hazel Smith by Representative Guerra and Senator Ellis, honoring Jim and Mary Lou King by Senator Elton and Representatives Curtula and Wyrock, honoring Richard D. Lorenzo, retiring superintendent, Chugach School District, by Senator Bundy and Representative Hocker, in memoriam, Pamela Hendrick, by Representative Seaton, in memoriam, Harrison Kreitz, by Representative Gruenberg and Senator Ellis, in memoriam, Douglas Cy Neely, the life and memory of a great Alaskan, by Representative Harris, and Coghill and Senator Terrio. In memoriam, Elizabeth Ellen Betty Harris by Senator Elton and Representatives Curtula and Wyrock. There are no further citations or resolutions for introduction.
Brings us down to bills for introduction. Madam Clerk, do you have any bills for introduction this morning?
House Bill 304, by Representative Coghill entitled An Act Relating to the Commercial Fishing Loan Program and Providing for an Effective Date.
Refer to the Special Committee on Fisheries, Resources, and Finance.
House Bill 305 by Representative Wyrock entitled An Act Relating to a Bill that Provides a Defined Contribution Retirement Plan for Certain Members of the Teachers Retirement System and Certain Members of the Public Employees Retirement System and Providing for an Effective Date.
For the State Affairs and Finance.
House Bill 306 by Representative Stoltz entitled An Act Making Certain Land Available for Selection by the Matanuska Susitna Borough.
For the Resources and Finance.
House Bill 307 by Representative Stoltz entitled An Act Creating the Knick River Public Use Area.
For the Resources and Finance.
There are no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Curtulo.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could we go back up the calendar so I can introduce one of our guest pages,
please? Without objection, we'll roll back up the calendar to introduction of guests. Representative Curtulo.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To my left is Gordon Burns. He's a student here at Juneau High School, and his father took the pictures at our wedding. I grew up with his uncle, and his mother's the organist and pianist at our church. So if you'll help me welcome Gordon today.
Any other guests while we're here? Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, in the Warren A. Taylor Gallery, I have another constituent that is down here. I'm also hoping that the other body will make some good decisions with respect to the capital budget. But I for a second, with the leave of the speaker in my introduction, I just really want to highlight, her name is Amy Oney. She owns 4 assisted living homes in my community in Anchorage, and she is one of the hardest working individuals I know. And truly, I think what our citizen government is about, she has come down here on her own nickel time and time again this year to try to get us to understand why some of the regulations in the assisted living home area aren't working, and so that she can continue to take care of our seniors and our most vulnerable in our state. And so I just want to highlight that and say thank you again to her. So please help me welcome Amy Oney.
Other guests while we're here, Representative Kelly.
Just a comment, Mr. Speaker. Amy also knows her way around the Capitol. She found Foster's in my birthday party last night.
You have any stories to talk about that? Or is this, are any other guests for introduction? Roll back down the calendar to consideration of the daily calendar. Madam Clerk, would you please read the first item on today's agenda?
Senate Bill 87 by Senators Bundy, Wilkins, Seekins, Wagner, and Cowdery, entitled An Act Relating to Motor Vehicle Safety Belt Violations. The State Affairs Committee has considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill 87, State Affairs, with the same title, recommending do pass Gardner-Langato, recommending do pass Gruenberg. Do not pass Gardner, Link, Dotto, and Elkins. No recommendation. Seaton, the report was signed by Representative Seaton, Chair. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 87, Judiciary, recommending do pass Gruenberg and McGuire. Do not pass Cott and Dahlstrom. No recommendation. Guerra and Coghill. The report was signed by Representative McGuire, Chair. There's 2 committee substitutes.
Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute for Senate Bill 87 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the judiciary version in front of us. Madam Clerk, do you have any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker.
Sure you? Brief at ease. House, come back to order. We're in second reading on Senate Bill 87. Madam Clerk, do you have any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
I'm surprised. Mr. Speaker, I move and ask, no, I really don't want unanimous, well, anyway. Mr. Speaker, I struggle with this one, but I would move that and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for Senate Bill. Can I have this in order now?
There's a motion on the floor. Please be quiet.
I would move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 87 Judiciary be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage.
There is an objection. This bill will be held over and heard in third reading tomorrow. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 104 Judiciary by the Senate Judiciary Committee entitled An Act Relating to the Crimes of Unsworn Falsification in the First and Second Degrees and False Information or Report requiring the establishment of a permanent fund dividend fraud investigation unit in the Department of Revenue and providing for an effective date. The State Affairs Committee considered the bill recommending due pass Lynn Elkins, Gruenberg, and Seaton. No recommendation, Gardner. The report was signed by Representative Seaton, Chair. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 104 Judiciary with the new title, pending HCR 15. A zero fiscal note was attached. The recommending due pass Cott, Gruenberg, Guerra, and McGuire. No recommendation, Dahlstrom and Coghill. The report was signed by Representative McGuire, Chair. There's one House Committee Substitute.
Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 104 Judiciary with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the Judiciary version in front of us. Madam Clerk, do you have any amendment?
There's an amendment being duplicated.
Brief it is. Order. Now, Madam Clerk, do you have any amendments?
Amendment number one by Representative Curtula to page 9, line 14.
Representative Curtula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the amendment.
There is an objection. Representative Curtula.
And just to explain, I have a constituent that's serving as a Peace Corps staff overseas. She's worked for the Peace Corps for 5 years. She comes home to Alaska. Her paychecks are deposited in Alaska. And, of course, without support staff, there would be no volunteers. So with that, I would encourage you to vote for the amendment to allow these people who do support the volunteers to be allowed to receive their dividends. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I've talked to the sponsor of the amendment, and she understands my deep respect for her constituent. But I oppose the amendment on the philosophical grounds we've already been through on this floor, that this is really about those people who are the volunteers who are serving their country and that sacrifice. And I do think the staff do as well, but it is more of a career choice and more of a paid position, commiserate with some of the other amendments we've had offered. So I would just urge members to respectfully decline the amendment, but support the work of the support staff for the Peace Corps.
Representative Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I have a question for the maker of the amendment. Are the support staff away from Alaska for a limited time period? Is it defined or indefinite, as in a career?
Representative Curtula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I truly don't know. I know that this lady has been overseas for 5 years. I think she periodically comes back and forth, but it's an indefined period of time as far as I know. Thank you.
Other debate? Ready for the question? Question is, shall amendment number one pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
10 yeas, 28 nays.
So the vote of 10 yeas and 28 nays, amendment number one has failed to pass the House. Madam Clerk, do you have any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 104 Judiciary be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we're in third reading. Madam Clerk, please read the title for the third and final time.
House Committee Substitute
Speaker, for committee substitute for Senate Bill 104 Judiciary, entitled An Act Relating to the Crimes of Unsworn Falsification in the First Degree Involving an Application for a Permanent Fund Dividend and False Information or Report Involving Eligibility for a Permanent Fund Dividend, requiring the establishment of a Permanent Fund Dividend Fraud Investigation Unit in the Department of Revenue, relating to service in the Peace Corps and as a member of the United States Olympic Team as allowable absences from the state for purposes of eligibility for permanent fund dividends and to the period for filing an application for a permanent fund dividend, authorizing the Department of Revenue to issue administrative orders imposing sanctions for certain misrepresentations or other actions concerning eligibility for a permanent fund dividend and providing for administrative appeal of those orders and providing for an effective date.
Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be brief. We made some little changes in the Judiciary Committee to incorporate a bill that has already passed here unanimously. So you'll see that part of the bill regarding Peace Corps volunteers and members of the United States Olympic team. That bill also incorporated the civil penalties for dividend fraud. This bill, in total now, combined with the chairman of the Judiciary Committee on the other body, now would also have heightened criminal penalties for making a false application for a permanent fund dividend. Makes it a Class C felony. It's a really great package of things to crack down on dividend fraud, and I would urge member support.
Other debate? You ready for the question? Question is, shall House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 104 Judiciary pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
39 yeas, 0 nays.
So with a vote of 39 yeas and 0 nays, House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 104 Judiciary has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to the roll call vote on the passage of House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 104 Judiciary be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on the bill will be the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Mr. Majority, Minority Leader.
Thank you very much. I serve notice of reconsideration. My vote on SB 104 and ask that reconsideration be brought up the same day.
Notice of reconsideration has been given on committee substitute for Senate Bill 104 and ask that it be brought up on the same day. Madam Clerk, please read the title for the third and final time.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 104 Judiciary, entitled An Act Relating to the Crimes of Unsworn Falsification in the First Degree Involving an Application for a Permanent Fund Dividend and False Information or a Report Involving Eligibility for a Permanent Fund Dividend, requiring the establishment of a Permanent Fund Dividend Fraud Investigation Unit in the Department of Revenue relating to service in the Peace Corps and as a member of the United States Olympic Team as allowable absences from the state for purposes of eligibility for permanent fund dividends and to the period we're filing an application for a permanent fund dividend, authorizing the Department of Revenue to issue administrative orders imposing sanctions for certain misrepresentations or other actions concerning eligibility for a permanent fund dividend and providing for administrative appeal of those orders and providing for an effective date.
You ready for the question? The question is, shall House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 104 Judiciary pass the House under reconsideration? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
40 yeas, 0 nays.
And so, with a vote of 40 yeas, 0 nays, House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 104 Judiciary has passed the House. Mr. Majority.
And Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to the roll call vote on the passage of House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for 104 Judiciary under reconsideration be considered the roll call vote on the effective date.
Without objection, the roll call vote on the bill will be the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 110, Finance, effective date failed by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Regulation of the Discharge of Pollutants under the National Pollutant Discharge Elimination System. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 110 Finance with the same title, recommending Dupas, Kelly, and Foster. No recommendation, Hawker, Croft, Holmes, Stoltz, Meyer, and Chenault. No recommendation or amend YROC. The report was signed by Representatives Meyer and Chenault, co-chairs. There's one House Committee substitute.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for a committee substitute for Senate Bill 110, Finance, with effective date failed, be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the finance version in front of us. Madam Clerk, do you have any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Representative Wyrock, brief at ease. House, come back to order. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 110, Finance, be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's an objection. This bill will be heard in third reading tomorrow. Now, I got a couple of things I want to do here. Without objection, Senate Bill 155, which is in third reading on today's calendar, I'm sending it back to the Finance Committee for a little work on it. It will come back here in third reading. And then I'd like, without objection, to move down the calendar to HCR 15. It's way down the calendar, but HCR 15. Madam Clerk, would you please read the title?
House Concurrent Resolution 15 by the House Judiciary Committee, suspending Rules 24C, 35, 31B, and 42E, Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill 104 relating to the crimes of unsworn falsification in the first degree and second degree and false information or report requiring the establishment of a permanent fund dividend fraud investigation unit in the Department of Revenue.
You ready for the question? The question is, shall the House pass House Concurrent Resolution 15? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
39 yeas, 0 nays.
So the vote of 39 yeas and 0 nays, the House has passed House Concurrent Resolution 15. Representative Curtula.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to give reconsideration on my vote on HCR 15 and take it up same day.
Without objection, we will take up reconsideration on HCR 15. Madam Clerk, please read the title one more time.
House Concurrent Resolution 15, suspending Rules 24C, 35, 41B, and 42E, Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill Number 104 relating to the crimes of unsworn falsification in the first and second degree and false information or report requiring the establishment of a permanent fund dividend fraud investigation unit in the Department of Revenue.
Ready for the question? Question is, shall HCR 15, House Concurrent Resolution 15, pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
40 yeas, 0 nays.
So the vote of 40 yeas, 0 nays, House Concurrent Resolution 15 has passed the House under reconsideration. All right. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 130, Finance, amended by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled An Act Relating to a Special Deposit for Workers' Compensation and Employers' Liability Insurers Relating to Assigned Risk Pools Relating to Workers' Compensation Insurers, stating the intent of the legislature and setting out limitations concerning the interpretation, construction, and implementation of workers' compensation laws relating to the Alaska Workers' Compensation Board, assigning certain Alaska Workers' Compensation Board functions to the Division of Workers' Compensation in the Department of Labor and Workforce Development and to that department, and authorizing the board to delegate administrative and enforcement duties to the division, providing for workers' compensation hearing officers in workers' compensation proceedings, establishing a workers' compensation appeals commission relating to workers' compensation medical benefits and to charges for and payments of fees for the medical benefits relating to agreements that discharge workers' compensation liability, relating to workers' compensation awards relating to reemployment benefits and job dislocation benefits, relating to coordination of workers' compensation and certain disability benefits, relating to division of workers' compensation records, relating to release of treatment records, relating to an employer's failure to insure and keep insured or provide security, providing for appeals from compensation orders relating to workers' compensation proceedings, providing for Supreme Court jurisdiction of appeals from the Workers' Compensation Appeals Commission, providing for a maximum amount for the cost of living adjustment for workers' compensation benefits, relating to attorney fees with respect to workers' compensation, providing for the department to enter into contracts with nonprofit organizations to provide information, services, and legal representation to injured employees, providing for administrative penalties for employers uninsured or without adequate security for workers' compensation, relating to fraudulent acts or false or misleading statements in workers' compensation and penalties for the acts or statements, providing for members of a limited liability company to be included as an employee for purposes of workers' compensation, establishing a workers' compensation benefit guarantee fund, making conforming amendments, providing for a study and report by the Medical Services Review Committee, establishing the task force on workers' compensation, and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute or Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 130, Labor and Commerce, with a new title pending a House concurrent resolution, recommending do pass Cott and Ledoux, no recommendation Crawford and Lynn and Guttenberg, amend Roekberg and Anderson. The report was signed by Representative Anderson, Chair. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 130 Judiciary with a new title pending House concurrent resolution. Attached four new fiscal notes recommending do pass Coghill and Guerra and Cott. No recommendation Dahlstrom and McGuire, amend Anderson. The report was signed by Representative McGuire, Chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 130 Judiciary with the new title pending HCR. Recommending, having no recommendation, Hawker, Holm, Foster, Stoltz, Croft, Wyrock, Jewell, Moses, and Meyer. The report was signed by Representative Meyer, co-chair, committee substitute for Senate Bill 130, or I have no amendment. There's two House committee substitutes.
Majority Leader.
After that long title, she's entitled to it.
Overtime on that.
Yeah. Mr. Speaker?
Is it Roebert?
No, Griffin is.
Let's see. House, come back to order. Madam Clerk, before you announce any amendments, we're going to stand at ease till 1 o'clock. Come to order.
Brief at ease, Mr. Speaker.
Order. Okay, we left off. Mr. Majority Leader, you want to make a motion to adopt the version of the
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 130 Finance amended with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
No objection. We have the Senate Judiciary version in front of us. House Judiciary version in front of us. Madam Clerk, do you have any amendments?
Amendment number one by Representative Anderson to page 14, line 19.
Representative Anderson is not here. We'll set that amendment aside, Madam Clerk. Do you have any other amendments?
Amendment number two by Representative Roekberg to page 30, line 28 through page 32, line 23.
Representative Roekberg.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to withdraw amendment number two at this time, and we'll be taking it up tomorrow.
Amendment number two has been withdrawn at this point. Madam Clerk, any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
You have amendment number one, right?
Good. Amendment number one by Representative Anderson.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number one.
There is an objection. Brief at ease. To order. House, come back to order. Representative Anderson.
Go figure. I withdraw amendment number one. What's new?
You're getting good at that motion. Representative Anderson has removed amendment number one. Do you have any other amendments, Madam Clerk?
No further amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the House Committee Substitute, for Senate Bill 130, Judiciary, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, place on final passage.
Without objection, we're in third reading. Madam Clerk, please read the title for the third and final time.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 130, Judiciary, and Ted Lin Act relating to workers' compensation and to signed risk pools relating to the Alaska Insurance Guarantee Association, establishing the Task Force on Workers' Compensation, amending Rule 45, Alaska Rules of Civil Procedure, and providing for an effective date.
We'll roll this bill in third reading until tomorrow's calendar. I know everybody's getting ready for the debate, but... Representative Gruenberg.
Got to ask unanimous consent that we revert to introduction of guests, please.
Without objection, we'll back up the calendar to introduction of guests. Representative Gruenberg.
I'd like to introduce to the members some folks who are smiling in the back row of the Paratrovich Gallery. They're from my district, Marshall and Angie Pendleton. Please help me welcome Mr. Pendleton.
Brief at ease. House, come back to order. Without objection, I'd like to roll back up the calendar to messages from the other body.
A message dated May 7th stating the Senate has passed House Bill 184 with the following amendment. Senate CS for House Bill 184, Judiciary amended Senate. And it's returned for consideration. A message dated May 7th stating the Senate has failed to concur in the House amendment to committee substitute for Senate Bill 141, Finance, namely House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 141, Finance, amended House, and respectfully request the House to receive from its amendment. In the event the House does not receive, the President appointed the following members to a conference committee to meet with the like committee from the House: Senator Green, Senator Seekins, and Senator Olson. I have no further messages from the other body.
Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the members go into the limbo file, or allow me to go into the limbo file, that we may consider the House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 141, Finance, amended House.
Without objection, we're in the limbo file. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, as you heard, the Senate has failed to concur with the changes made by the House. And with that, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House recede from its amendment to Committee Substitute for 141 Finance, namely House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 141 Finance, and recommend that the members vote no.
You ready for the question? Representative Kelly?
Mr. Speaker, brief at ease.
Brief at ease. House, come back to order. Representative Kropp?
Yeah, just very briefly on the motion to recede. I agree with the majority leader. I think we should not recede. It's really not a controversial aspect of this very controversial bill. Almost everyone agrees now that the Senate version, which has no death and disability benefit at all, has a number of other changes, even if you like a defined contribution plan, that were fixed in state affairs. If we recede, we'd get the original Senate version as it came over that I don't think is agreeable to anyone. So I am voting no.
Other debate? Ready for the question? The question is, shall the House recede from its amendments, thus adopting Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 141, Finance? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
Zero yeas, 37 nays.
So with a vote of zero yeas and 37 nays, the House has failed to recede from its amendments. Since the House has not receded from its amendments, I'm appointing the following members to the conference committee per Uniform Rule 42A, Representative Seaton, Representative Wyrock, and Representative Crawford. Okay. Do you want to go into the other file? You don't have possession of them? Okay. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
I don't have possession of Senate bill.
Brief it, please.
It's a Senate bill. Senate's the chair.
So there's no chairmanship.
Okay, Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
I don't have possession of Senate Bill 132.
Okay, we don't have possession of 132. Madam Clerk, then we'll read the next item on today's agenda.
I don't have possession of Senate Bill 137.
Okay, Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 139, Labor and Commerce, by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Termination and Oversight of Boards, Commissions, and Agency Programs, extending the termination date of the Board of Marital and Family Therapy and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 139, Labor and Commerce, with the same title, recommending due pass. Anderson, no recommendation. Crawford, Lynn, Cott, Ledoux, Roeckberg, and Guttenberg. The report was signed by Representative Anderson, Chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 139, Finance, with the same title, recommending due pass. Hocker and Moses, no recommendation. Jewel, Holm, Kelly, Stoltz, and Chenault. The report was signed by Representative Chenault, Co-Chair. There's two House Committee substitutes.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House. The House Finance Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 139, Labor and Commerce, be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, Finance Committee substitute will be before us. Madam Clerk, do you have any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 139, Finance, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is an objection. This bill will be heard in third reading tomorrow. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 142, Labor and Commerce, by the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, entitled An Act Relating to Ownership of Land by Regional School Boards and Providing for an Effective Date. The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered the bill, recommending due pass. Olson, no recommendation. Newman, Cott, and Ledoux. The report was signed by Representative Olson, co-chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommending due pass. Foster, no recommendation. Hocker, Holmes, Stoltz, Moses, Wyrock, Jewell, Croft, Meyer, Chenault. The report was signed by Representatives Meyer and Chenault, co-chairs. I have no amendments.
Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for Senate Bill 142, Labor and Commerce, be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, placed on final passage.
There's no objection. This bill will be heard third reading on tomorrow's calendar. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 143, State Affairs, by the Senate State Affairs Committee, entitled An Act Amending the Definition of the Term State Agencies as it applies under Executive Order Number 113, relating to information systems in the legislative branch and to the Telecommunications Information Council, and providing for an effective date. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommending due pass. Cott, Anderson, Dahlstrom, Guerra, and McGuire. The report was signed by Representative McGuire, Chair. I have no amendments.
Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that committee substitute for Senate Bill 143, State Affairs, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we're in third reading. Madam Clerk, please read the title for the third and final time.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 143, State Affairs, and Title and Act amending the definition of the term state agency says it applies under Executive Order Number 113 relating to information systems in the legislative branch and to the Telecommunications Information Council and providing for an effective date.
Representative Cott.
Mr. Speaker, this bill exempts the telecommunications operations of the legislature and the University of Alaska from oversight of the executive branch. It clarifies that the executive director of the Legislative Affairs Agency, as at the direction of Ledge Council, establishes the information system guidelines for us, the legislature, and that's what is currently we're under. Speaker, this reflects the reality that the legislature already oversees it's our own telecommunications operations. What had happened in Executive Order 113 is we were included in falling under the umbrella of the Alaska Department of Administration. What this bill does is specifically excludes us from being under that umbrella. So I would commend this to you and ask members to vote yes.
Any other debate? Ready for the question? Question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 143 pass the House? Members, please vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
39 yeas, 0 nays.
So the vote of 39 yeas and 0 nays, committee substitute for Senate Bill 143 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call vote on the passage of committee substitute for Senate Bill 143 State Affairs be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on the bill will be the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on the day's agenda.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 147, Finance, by the Senate Finance Committee, entitled an act providing for a sport fishing facility surcharge on sport fishing licenses, providing for the construction and renovation of state sport fishing facilities and for other projects beneficial to the sport fish resources of the state as a public enterprise, and authorizing the issuance of revenue bonds to finance those projects. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 147 Finance with the same title attached to fiscal note. Recommending do pass, Hocker, Holm, and Kelly. No recommendation, Croft, Jewell, Moses, Meyer, and Chenault. Amend, Stoltz. The report was signed by Representatives Meyer and Chenault, co-chairs. The Rules Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 147 Rules with the same title attached to fiscal note. Recommending do pass, Coghill and Roachberg. No recommendation, Coring and Harris. The report was signed by Representative Roachberg, Chair. There's two House Committee substitutes.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 147 Finance be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the Rules Committee substitute in front of us. Madam Clerk, do you have any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 147 Rules be considered engrossed. Answer third reading placed on final passage.
There's an objection. This bill will be heard on tomorrow's calendar in third reading. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 154 Judiciary by the Senate Judiciary Committee entitled an act relating to the jurisdiction for proceedings relating to delinquent minors and to telephonic and televised participation in those proceedings, amending rules 2, 3, 4, 8, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 21, 22, 23, 24.1, and 25 Alaska delinquency rules and providing for an effective date. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 154 Judiciary with the same title, attached an indeterminate fiscal note and three previous zero notes. Recommending do pass, Grunberg, Anderson, Dahlstrom, Coghill, McGuire. No recommendation, Guerra. The report was signed by Representative McGuire, Chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 154 Judiciary with the same title, recommending do pass, Hawker, Croft, Stoltz, Moses, Holm, Wyrock, Foster, and Chenault. The report was signed by Representative Chenault, co-chair. There's one committee substitute.
Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 154 Judiciary be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection. Did you say the Judiciary version?
Yes.
The Judiciary version before us. Madam Clerk, do you have any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 154 Judiciary be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
If there's an objection, this bill will be heard in third reading tomorrow. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda, briefities. Come back to order. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item of today's agenda?
Senate Bill 158 by Senator Huggins, entitled an act prohibiting the imposition of municipal sales and use taxes on state construction contracts and certain subcontracts and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill, recommending do pass, Crawford, Lynn, Rokeberg, and Anderson. No recommendation, Cott, Ledoux, and Guttenberg. The report was signed by Representative Anderson, Chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommending do pass, Hawker, Holm, Stoltz, Meyer, Chenault. No recommendation, Wyrock, Kelly, Moses, and Jewell. The report was signed by Representatives Meyer and Chenault, co-chairs. I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 158 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we're in third reading. Madam Clerk, please read the title for the third and final time.
Senate Bill 158, entitled an act prohibiting the imposition of municipal sales and use taxes on state construction contracts and contracts and certain subcontracts and providing for an effective date.
Representative Stoltz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is a fairly straightforward piece of legislation, I don't say piece, a bill that would prohibit taxation of the value of subcontracts. There's clarity that there's not legal ability to tax contracts, but some political jurisdictions have reached in and taxed subcontracts. I'm sure for very, very seemingly valid reasons they need revenues, but I think it's an inappropriate step. A policy that certainly could expand and would have an impact on how much of a construction dollar actually gets the project. This doesn't prohibit the ability to tax a subcontractor that's renting equipment, renting rooms, and all the other ancillary activities related to conducting their contract. That'll answer any questions.
Is there any debate? You ready for the question? Question is, shall Senate Bill 158 pass the House? Members, please vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
23 ayes, 13 nays.
So the vote of 23 ayes, 13 nays, Senate Bill 158 has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the effective date clause.
You ready for the question? The question is, shall the effective date clause for Senate Bill 158 pass? Members, please vote. Representative Elkin. clerk please lock the roll? Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Ledoux, from yea to nay. Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Salmon, from yea to nay. Representative Wilson, from nay to yea. Representative Olson. Yea to nay. Any other member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Cott? Nay to yea. Representative Crawford, from nay to yea. Any other member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
26 yeas, 10 nays.
So finally, there's a vote of 26 yeas and 10 nays. Senate Bill 158 has passed the House. Just for the information of the members, I didn't void the roll, but any member that calls out while the vote's being taken, again, the roll will be voided. Oh, that's right. The effective date, I'm sorry, that was on the effective date. The effective date did fail. I'm sorry.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Jewell?
Yes, I'd like to serve notice of my reconsideration of my vote on Senate Bill 158.
Reconsideration has been given on Senate Bill 158. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda.
Senate Bill 174 by Senators Huggins, Wagner, and Representative Foster, entitled an act excluding certain trucks from definition of passenger vehicle for purposes of the passenger vehicle rental tax and providing for an effective date. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 174 Finance with a new title authorized by House Concurrent Resolution 18, recommending Dupas, Hawker, Holm, Wyrock, Stoltz, Kelly, Foster, Meyer and Chenault. The report was signed by Representatives Meyer and Chenault, co-chairs. There's one House Committee substitute.
Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for Senate Bill 174 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection. Finance Committee substitute in front of us. Madam Clerk, do you have any amendments?
Amendment number one by Representative Croft to page 2, line 12.
Representative Croft.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move amendment number one.
There's an objection. Representative Croft.
Amendment number one amends the part about the bill that talks about a loaner car, essentially. And usually there's no compensation for the loaner car, so it makes a lot of sense that we would exclude it out of this. The phrase I'm amending is, if the deal, reading briefly from the bill, section G.
Without objection.
Exempted from this tax is a vehicle provided by an automobile dealer to a customer as a replacement transportation during warranty, recall, or service contract repairs if the dealer does not receive compensation from the customer for providing the vehicle. And the phrase I'd like to eliminate is from the customer for providing, and so it simply read, if the dealer does not receive compensation. There's a lot of different ways a dealer might get compensation from other areas through some contract. So if there's a contract or other mechanism by which they get money, it shouldn't be excluded from the sales tax. Obviously, if they don't receive any compensation from the customer or for any other way, it shouldn't be. So true loaner vehicles that aren't covered by some other method are still protected in this, but I think we're more accurately doing the intent of the bill with Amendment Number 1.
Other debate on the amendment?
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Actually, I have an amendment to the amendment. It seems to me clearer if you just delete the phrase "from the customer" rather than "from the customer for providing the vehicle," because you don't know if the dealer is receiving compensation for providing the vehicle. So I would move to amend the amendment to delete the phrase, just solely the phrase "from the customer."
Is there any objection to the amendment to the amendment? Hearing none, amendment to the amendment passes. It has the amendment, brings us amendment number one in front of us as amended. Is there any debate on amendment number one as amended? Is there any objection to amendment number one as amended? Seeing none, amendment number one as amended has passed the House. Madam Clerk, do you have any other amendments?
Amendment number 2 by Representative Croft to page 1 after line 5.
Representative Croft.
Although I think amendment number 2 gets the bill down to its original intent, I won't be offering amendment number 2.
Amendment number 2 has been withdrawn. Madam Clerk, do you have any other amendments?
There's an amendment number 3 being duplicated.
Brief it is. House, please come to order. Yeah, there is. There's a. Madam Clerk, do you have any other amendments?
Amendment number 3 by Representative Gatto, beginning page 1, line 3.
Representative Gatto.
Speaker, did someone call the House?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, that's fine. I'll proceed. First of all, thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment, which is amendment number...
Why don't you move the amendment?
So I move amendment number 3.
There's an objection. Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There'll be several objections to the essence of this, and I'm going to take some of these little devils in the closet one at a time. First, I'm going to start with a legal opinion as to whether or not I'm even allowed to do what I'm doing here. And so I have some information from Tam Cook, which refers to Mason's Manual, Section 398.4014, and if I may quote, "Neither the uniform rules nor Mason's Manual prohibits the offering of an amendment germane to the bill under consideration by the body that contains material found in another bill that has not yet come before the body and been defeated." So it is legitimate to bring that before this bill, this amendment before the body. Number 2, I'd really like you, if you can take a minute, to pick up the amendment, and I'd like to walk through just a couple of points that exist in the amendment. Specifically on page 1, line...
State your point.
I believe this bill is not germane under Rule 35. Also, under the precedents and traditions of the House, pulling a bill out of the committee is usually not allowed. I do agree with the member's analysis of Mason's. However, it is a custom and tradition of the body. Rule 35, I believe we have a germane issue.
Brief it is. Oh. House, come back to order. The point of order has been raised on amendment number 3 as to whether or not it actually
withdraws a bill from a committee. And the ruling of the chair is that the power of the chairs are being affected by this particular amendment being offered, and I'm going to rule the amendment out of order.
Sure. I'm going to make an objection, if I could, and state reasons for my objection. Is I believe the ruling reflects more an internal caucus decision, and I respect the right of any caucus, any majority caucus, to make those kind of rules. But it seems to me that there's a distinction between a caucus determination to respect the power of its chairs and something that's actually contained in Mason's. And it's my understanding from reading Mason's and the rules that there is no prohibition against pulling bills from committee. But it, I do respect the right of the majority caucus here to make that own rule internally.
Representative Krav?
Yeah, very briefly on that subject. Let me state it more clearly. There is no uniform rule or Mason's rule that prohibits this. And I have and can get, if you want, still have in the files up there, a memorandum from Tam Cook saying that there is no such rule. You are, the majority is free to, I guess, define what it wants and rule what it wants, and there's to some extent an overriding rule of 21. But the clearest indication that there can't be such a rule, in her, quoting from her memo because I remember it, is she said, if you had one and you didn't want an amendment, you knew an amendment was coming on the floor that you didn't like, you could simply introduce a bill that had that same content. And what we're dealing with here is ideas, and it is not pulling a bill from committee to offer an amendment on any subject. The right to amend here on the House floor should be plenary. It should be our decision whether we think it's germane seems to me the better point. But the idea that we can't do that is going to limit debate on this floor in a way that I think will be harmful to this body years after I'm gone. So I hope you would do it, Mr. Chairman, on germaneness and not on a rule that does not exist in Mason's or in the uniform rules.
Other debate on the ruling of the chair.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. I respect your opinion, but I was very careful to craft this amendment so it had distinctions from the bill that's currently in committee, and I have addressed those specific distinctions with you. This is not the committee bill. It has a resemblance to it, and you can certainly say it's the same subject. But the danger we're facing here, and it's a very distinct danger, is that we could inoculate ourselves from ever hearing a certain subject by simply introducing the bill, making it a worthless bill, killing it, and then saying you cannot bring up any similar legislation that addresses the same subjects. And we would therefore give ourselves an ability to eliminate debate on a subject by simply introducing it and destroying it. That, I think, is certainly not the reason that we exist here. It's certainly not the intent of anybody here. I think free and open debate is what we should have, and that's why I went ahead and made those distinctions in the amendment. But I do respect your call on this, and I'm perfectly willing to abide by it. Thank you.
Other debate on the ruling of the chair? Is the objection to the ruling of the chair still maintained?
Mr. Speaker, I maintain the objection. If I could have a brief at ease.
Brief at ease. House, come back to order. Representative Gatto.
Take a brief at ease.
Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I withdraw Amendment Number 3.
Amendment Number 3 has been withdrawn. Madam Clerk, do you have any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 174, Finance, amended House, be considered gross, advance to third reading, placed on final passage.
There's an objection. This bill will be heard in third reading tomorrow. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda.
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 16, Transportation, by the entitled an act relating to the powers and duties of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities, repealing the requirement for a long-range program for highway construction and maintenance and repealing a requirement that public facilities comply with energy standards adopted by the Department of Transportation and public facilities and providing for an effective date.
We're in third reading. Representative Holm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, SB 16 is a bill that gets rid of some obsolete statutes relating to the powers and duties of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities. Mr. Speaker, the key provision is the removal of some burdensome requirements that make it so that DOT has to conduct cost-benefit studies on all projects, no matter how small that they are. So obviously that can cost a lot of money and it can hold up projects very important to the people of Alaska. It's been used to stop projects. One in particular I know of has been stopped, which was a bridge project. And unfortunately last winter there were a couple of fellows who fell through the ice crossing that same river and died. So it's come to our attention that it's a much larger problem than what we would like to think. It's not a problem of whether or not that you have a road from here to there and whether it can have any real economic benefit or not, but whether or not we're doing these projects because they're important to the peoples that live in the different areas of the state. Being such a large state, it's very difficult for us to have economically viable reasons to have ports and facilities and marine highway system and all these things. Whether or not they have a cost-benefit analysis isn't always as important as we might think it should be. Senate Bill 16 adds a new subsection which requires the cost-effectiveness analysis for new highways, airports, terminals, and ferries for other projects, and it excludes the study for the rehabilitation and maintenance of all existing facilities. Other provisions in Senate Bill 16 asks the DOT to study financing alternatives and to consider new technologies that other states are using to pay for their road systems. Mr. Speaker, finally, SB 16 contains housekeeping measures that change DOT's powers and duties to reflect the world in which it now operates. When I was chairman of the Transportation Committee the last session, Mr. Speaker, this bill was worked on, and now it is coming to the House of Representatives, and I really would urge everybody's support. Thank you.
Any other debate on the bill? Are you ready for the question? Question is, shall committee substitute for Senate substitute for Senate bill, or sponsor substitute, I mean, for Senate Bill 16, Transportation, pass the House. Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Sangera, from yay to nay. Any other member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
34 yeas, 4 nays.
So the vote of 34 yeas and 4 nays, committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 16, Transportation, has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent to the roll call vote on a passage of committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 16, Transportation, be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the roll call vote on the bill will be the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Mr. Minority Leader.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I serve notice of reconsideration of my vote on SB 16.
Reconsideration has been given on SB 16. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda.
House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 36, Judiciary, amended House, entitled an act relating to absentee ballots.
Representative Coghill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I get to carry the Senate Bill 36. Worked on it in the Judiciary Committee, and here we have this project here. This is a bill that comes out of a practice that got pulled into question probably during the last election, and that is whether absentee ballots can be sent to a party or
some other group and then sent to the Division of Elections. This says we want them to go directly to the Division of Elections. But anytime you start dealing with registration, you want to make sure that people's rights are taken care of. So the director has been directed to get a form put together, and then the voter is to submit that directly to the Division of Elections. This allows a registration official also to put it in a pouch. I'm a registrar, and quite often I'm registering people to vote, and there's many times I will sit at a table and register 50 people, and but the Division of Elections actually gives you a pouch, and it's self-addressed and all that, and you just send it in. So the intent on line 13, registration official, is that, as I understand it, and I'll explain that a little bit as we get down to it, because the idea is to make sure that these go directly to the Division of Elections. And if you look on line 14 and 15 of page 1, directly to the Division of Elections and may not be submitted to an intermediary. And that was the question that we had. But it's not meant to prohibit you from going around and registering people or going around encouraging people to register. So the language on page 2 at the top of the page there was it's not intended to prohibit a voter from giving a complete absentee ballot application to a friend, relative, etc., to transfer through the postal system. And then Section 2 deals with a change from 10 to 7 days before the election. And I think it was debated in the committee that I was a part of. And the question is, and I think last year we had probably the most amount of absentee ballots probably ever in our history. And the Division of Elections, when they got these, they were under a huge, huge time crunch trying to make sure that every ballot was properly processed. And so this requirement pushes it up by 3 days so that every vote is properly handled. And I think we need to be aware of this, as those who care about voters and also care about how the system takes care of those voters vote. And this allows, if we're going to have the absentee system as we've had it, this is going to allow it the time to process the very things we've done. Because what we've done, Mr. Speaker, is we have broadened out the time for application, and we have encouraged people to vote distance. We've got fax voting, and we have I think this year we've talked about using scanning votes, for example. We certainly can do them by fax and certainly by mail. So because of the encouragement that the state has given people to vote this way, I think it's only proper that we give them time to process them. I can remember the divisional director sitting in the committee, and when was put question on this very issue, you could see was emotionally shaken when she was retelling and recounting how intensely those people wanted to make sure that every ballot was taken care of under the timelines that they had. So I think that this is good, not just for the state, but for the voter and themselves. And so, but we need to be aware of it, because once you move something up 3 days, then you better make sure that everybody knows that. So that's good. Now, that also ups the violation, an unlawful interference with the voting in the first degree, for those who encourage unlawful activity based on what I just read. I think for me, though, I questioned this, let's see, the member from District 23 and I had a discussion on this registration official, because I really wanted the voter to be the one that sent it directly to the division. But I also don't want those who are registrars to be out of it. So on the back, I think on page 3, it says what a registration official is. And it says, first of all, you have to register. But the new, it encourages or assists in violation of 1520.030.081, which is actually the very first section that says we want them sent directly to the division. So I think our language is fine. The idea is to clarify the process, to make sure that people know how to handle absentee ballots. And I think it's an outcropping. And I think without doing a whole lot of finger pointing, it's an outcropping of the way that we're doing some of our living today. We're living to where people are doing early voting now, where they're doing absentee voting because they're not too sure where they're going to be. Many of us have too many miles in the airplane and travel way too much. I think I got in trouble about that this year in the press. But it's just an indication that we've made provisions for that, and our law needs to kind of reflect that as our society. So I would encourage a vote on this CS for Senate Bill 36.
Any other debate on the bill?
Very short.
House, come back to order. Is there any other debate on the bill? Representative Guttenberg.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There's a couple of questions in here I have, and they won't be answered here. They'll be answered in the process that the Division of Elections take care of their business. And I'm a little concerned that when we change the date from 7 to 10, that the Division of Elections also does mails out their applications and requests earlier. That's important. But remember, this is a division that works year-round, and then a couple of times every 2 years, and sometimes a little bit more frequently in areas, all of a sudden, they balloon up. You know, they're preparing for elections over the course of 2 years, a year and a half until the primary. And all of a sudden, they bring on hundreds of extra employees as far as the people working in the precincts, doing the polling, how it gets watched, how they watch it, how they take care of their own business. And I know it's hard for the division to do that, and it's hard to train and educate everybody. This election process that we have is the voters' process. It's something where they're exercising their rights. And as long as we're laying the groundwork for them that's fair and honest and easy for them to participate, that we're doing the right thing. In the past, there's been abuses of this process, and as we go ahead, we're cleaning those up and we're trying to make it better, because this state has a wonderful election process. And I think we've taken a step forward with this bill. Thank you.
Other debate on the bill? You ready for the question? Question is, shall House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 36, Judiciary amended in the House, pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
32 yeas, 0 nays.
So with a vote of 32 yeas and 0 nays, House may substitute, Fork may substitute, Senate Bill 36 has passed the House. Madam Clerk, please read the next item on today's agenda.
House Concurrent Resolution 16 by the House Finance Committee suspending Rules 24C, 35, 41B, and 42E Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill No. 141 relating to the teachers and public employees retirement systems and creating defined contribution and health reimbursement plans for members of the teachers retirement system and the public employees retirement system who are first hired after July 1, 2005, related to university retirement programs, establishing the Alaska Retirement Management Board to replace the Alaska State Pension Investment Board, the Alaska Teachers Retirement Board, and the Public Employees Retirement Board, adding appeals of the decisions of the Administrator of the Teachers and Public Employees Retirement Systems to the jurisdiction of the Office of Administrative Hearings, providing for non-vested members of the Teachers Retirement System defined benefit plans transfer into the teacher's retirement system defined contribution plan, and for non-vested members of the public employees retirement system defined benefits plan to transfer into the public employees retirement system defined contribution plan, providing for political subdivisions and public organizations to request to participate in the public employees defined contribution retirement plan, and providing for an effective date.
You ready for the question? This is a title amendment question, Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I'll call the House.
There is a call placed on the House. While we're waiting for the call to be satisfied, we'll stand at ease. House, come back to order.
Question is, shall House Concurrent Resolution 16 pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
27 yeas, 13 nays.
So the vote of 27 yeas and 13 nays, House Concurrent Resolution 16 has passed the House. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda? Oh, before you do that, Representative Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, permission to go down the calendar to announcements.
Without objection, we'll go down the calendar to announcements.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, a lot of big events going on the East Coast today, the Kentucky Derby, but one a little closer to home is the Alaska
Kentucky's
Aces.
Not on the East Coast.
Huh?
Kentucky's not on the East Coast.
It's back east somewhere.
All right.
Anyway, the Alaska Aces are playing in New Jersey. And at the end of the second, no, 3 minutes into the second period, Alaska 2 and New Jersey 1.
All right, back up the calendar to the agenda. Madam Clerk, the next item on today's agenda.
House Concurrent Resolution 17 by the House Rules Committee suspending Rules 24C, 35, 41B, and 42E, Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill 140 relating to computers and the Internet.
You ready for the question? Question is, shall House Concurrent Resolution 17, a title change for House Bill 140, pass the House? Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
40 yeas, 0 nays.
So the vote of 40 yeas and 0 nays, House Concurrent Resolution 17 has passed the House. Madam Clerk, could you please read the next item on today's agenda?
House Concurrent Resolution 18 by the House Finance Committee suspending Rules 24C, 35, 41B, and 42E, Uniform Rules of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Bill 174, excluding certain trucks from the definition of passenger vehicle for purposes of the passenger vehicle rental tax.
You ready for the question?
Brief it, a second.
We didn't pass it. Resolution 18 will not be heard at this point in time. Madam Clerk, would you please read the next item on today's agenda?
Senate Joint Resolution 16, by supporting legislation before the United States Congress that reaffirms the right of the states to regulate hunting and fishing. The resolution's in third reading.
Is there any debate? You ready for the question? The question is, so Senate Joint Resolution 16 passed the House. Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
39 yeas, 0 nays.
So the vote of 39 yeas and 0 nays, Senate Joint Resolution 16 has passed the House. Madam Clerk, to please read the next item on today's agenda.
There are citations on today's calendar.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that citations on today's calendar be approved.
Without objections, citations on today's calendar are approved. Moves us down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business? Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the members go into the limbo file, that we may consider House Bill 214. I'll get mine in order here. Mr. Speaker,
Representative directly behind me will speak to the changes.
Representative McGuire. We'll take a brief at ease. McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's that time of year. I have too many things on my desk. House Bill 214 is the anatomical gifts and registry bill that made technical changes to the overarching bill that we passed last year. In the other body, page 2, line 18, and page 3, lines 1, 4, and 6, they added rural clinics, mortuaries, and hospices to the list of places that upon receipt of an individual at or near the time of death are required to make a reasonable search for any document identifying the bearer as an organ donor. And then page 2, line 29, this was brought to us by the first responders. It adds the ability for the first responders to designate whomever they wish. It could be a dispatch center, or a public safety entering point, or otherwise in their community, to be the party responsible for notifying a procurement organization of the evidence of a gift or refusal found in the search at the time of death. And that was just, they felt that there might be instances where they're caught up with all the things that they're doing when they're responding to an emergency and not able to do it themselves. So I'd ask for member support.
Any other debate? Representative Kaka.
Mr. Speaker, with that, I would move and ask unanimous consent to the Senate amendments to committee substitute for House Bill 124 Hess, thus adopting the Senate committee substitute for House Bill 214 State Affairs, and recommended the members vote yes.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall the House concur? Senate changes. Senate committee substitute for House Bill 214. Members, please vote. Madam Clerk, please lock the roll. City member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
39 yeas, 0 nays.
So the vote of 39 yeas and 0 nays, the House has concurred in the Senate changes and Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 214. Mr. Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent. We go back into limbo file that the House may consider House Bill 35, and the member from District 14 will speak to the changes.
Representative Corrin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There was a minor change made to House Bill 35 in the Senate, on the other body. This bill, of course, is the extension of the Board of Architects, Engineers, and Land Surveyors. The change was a minor one, and that was to take the landscape architect position, which is a non-voting position, and extend it to 2009, which is the sunset date of the board itself. So I am amenable to this change. And